Good morning, church. Christmas is almost here, and I wish that you can all join our Christmas program coming up, and also can invite your friends to come to join. We actually have three Christmas celebration programs. Today, we're going to look at this parable, the vineyard worker parable, which is not easy to interpret. When I read this during my preparation, I think of the time when I was when I first came to Canada. That was many years ago. When I first came here as a young teenager, it's hard to find a summer job if you don't have any experience. So my first summer job is actually working in the farm. And in those days, I don't know how it is now, but in those days, if you want to work in the farm, you have to get up really early in the morning, like 3 or 4 o'clock, and then you stand at a designated location somewhere. They tell you ahead of time where you stand. So you all stand there, and then a van will come by, and then they will pick the people, pick the younger ones, usually bigger ones, stronger ones, and then go into the van, and then they will take you to the farm, probably somewhere in Surrey or Langley. And then some of them, you have to wait for the next van. And in those days, no, it's not like that you have internet and you can book your appointment. No, you just stand there and wait, and people come and pick you. And I still remember that you get paid $1 an hour, and I work picking up potatoes. And it was a hard job, picking up potatoes. It's really hard work. But I was happy because I get $1. It's a lot of money, $1. And I got a job. So when I read this parable of the vineyard worker, I immediately thought of my experience as a farm worker in those days. This parable is difficult to interpret. Some interpret this as Jesus talking about salvation history, about the Jews and the Gentiles. So the one who came first become the last, the last became first. No, the Gentiles, they become ahead of the Jews in terms of the gospel, getting the gospel. But there are also trouble in using this as the interpretation. And there are interpretations saying that, oh, this is about the Jesus talking to the disciples, because before this parable in chapter Matthew chapter 19, at the end, Jesus was talking to the disciples about their rewards in heaven. And then after this parable, and then Jesus also being asked by a mother about her two sons, where will they sit in heaven? Will they sit with the left hand side or right hand side of Jesus? So some interpret this parable is not about the reward of following Jesus. But today we are going to look at God's grace, which is really clearly, that's beyond doubt in this parable. Talk about grace, God's grace that He gives to us, to people who are following Him. About grace and fairness, man's fairness. And the parable started off saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning, 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. in the morning, to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, one silver coin for the day, and send them into his vineyard. So he promised them, pay them one silver coin. And about 9 o'clock, he went out again, and he saw others standing around, you know, doing nothing. Pay attention, doing nothing, that means they are doing nothing. They're looking for work in the marketplace. And then he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. Pay attention to the last words here. Whatever is right. So God is fair, right? He is going to pay the market price for hiring. One silver coin in my days, many years ago is $1, Canadian dollar, for one day of work. No matter how many hours you work, actually, no, sorry, it's by hour. So $1 per hour. One silver coin, one day of work. So what is the problem here? No problem so far. Okay. And they went. He went out again about noon time. I don't know why he keep going out there. And about 3 again, it's almost closing time now, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around doing nothing. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is closing time. By 6 o'clock is close time. 5 o'clock, he's still hiring people. I don't know what was in his mind. I remember when my mom was still here. After work, sometimes I went to Chinatown to buy her favorite egg tart and to buy her favorite barbecue pork, the white chicken, bak chi gai, white chicken. I still remember after work, I went to Chinatown at 5:30, sometimes 5:45, and Chinatown closed at 6. And I've been running around very quickly and said, "Oh, do you have half a dozen of egg tart?" I said, "No, I only have one left. You know, okay, I'll take that one before someone else buy that." And I went, "Do you have any more barbecue pork left?" And "No, this is all I have left. And, oh, it looks pretty ugly. I'll take it, though." So I've been running around in Chinatown trying to buy everything I could within that 15, 20 minutes time, because Chinatown is closed at 6 o'clock. Now, why is this owner went out and hire people at 5 o'clock? The farm is going to close at 6. But that is not a problem. The problem is, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Now, that is a problem, isn't it? The last one get paid first. What's going on here? What kind of boss is this? What kind of employer is this? Right? When you recognize the employee, when I work at my engineering company, I was recognized. The last time I was recognized was for my 35 years of service. No, so every 5 years, you got a recognition. So the reward goes up. Right? The longer you work, then you got a bigger reward. Right? So last time I was rewarded was 35 years of my service. So you reward the ones who work there longer first, isn't it? So why are you rewarding the one who came last, beginning of the last one? This is a problem. So these ones who came first at 6 a.m., they are obviously not happy. But the worst is yet to come. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received 1 silver coin. Hold it. What kind of accountant is this? Right? I mean, this owner needs a chartered accountant to do a better pay scale. How come they also get 1 silver coin? This is not fair. Something is wrong. It's not right. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received 1 silver coin. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. The one who came first started to grumble. Why? How come they also received the same wage as us? Now, what is the problem here? Did they get their 1 silver coin? Yes. Did they get to work? Yes. Were they treated fairly? Yes. So what is the problem? So the problem is not with what they have received. The problem is with what other people have received. Why is he making more money than me? The problem is not what you have received. The problem is what other people receive. Why is Bill Gates making more money than us? That's than me. That's not fair. But how much Bill Gates makes, what has that to do with you? Think about it. It's none of your business. Right? But it's not fair. Right? That is jealousy. Those who hired last were only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us. Right? They are not complaining about that worker who were only 1 hour. They're complaining to the owner. So in this parable, they're complaining to God. When we complain about that person, why is he or she doing better than me? We are actually complaining to God. Jealousy. Jealousy is a feeling angry or unhappy because you wish you had something that somebody else has. Jealousy is not because what you are missing. It's not because what you did not get. Because even if God gives you what other people had, you will start looking at some other people to compare. You always compare with people who are better than you in that area, in those possessions. You never compare with someone. If you drive a Mercedes, you will compare with someone who drives a Ferrari. You don't compare with your pastor who drives a Corolla, isn't it? You always compare somebody in that area that's doing better than you. So the problem is not what you have. What's wrong with a Mercedes, right? or Corolla that you spend? You think of it's the other people. The problem is you are looking at other people. Sometimes you wish that other people did not have that. Even worse, I wish he did not get one silver coin. Right? Only give him half a silver coin, give them. Right? Then I'll feel happy. But what has that to do with you? You got your silver coin. Jealousy is very, very dangerous because it seems so harmless. Sometimes even cover up with what we call fairness. It's not fair, isn't it? It's not fair that the one who works at 5 o'clock gets the same pay. That's right. You're right. No, this boss is not fair. Right? It's not fair that those people get a better job than me. You know, I serve God so hard, but then God bless them more. It's not fair. That's right. That's not fair. Sometimes we cover jealousy with fairness. It's not fair, but this is very, actually very harmful for us. The Bible proverb said, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy, jealousy, rots the bones. Not only rots your body, the bones, the most inner parts of you, not only the flesh, your heart, your whole body, it rots the bones. It goes deep inside you. Jealousy kills you. It kills you. So when Saul killed thousands of enemies, that's something to celebrate, isn't it? But when he heard that people were saying David killed tens of thousands, what's wrong with killing thousands of enemies, right? If I can kill 10, I'll be really proud of myself. I can kill 10 enemies in the battlefield. He kills thousands. That's something to be proud and happy with. But no, because he heard that others said that David have killed tens of thousands more than you. Oh, it's jealousy. Just guess Saul, and then Saul want to kill David. Jealousy is Satan's plan to destroy us. Don't fall into his trap. Jealousy breaks up fellowships, breaks up even church. Jealousy breaks up community. Jealousy breaks up our relationship with God. Because when we envy other people's grace that they receive, we are not paying attention to the grace God has given to us. Envy is resenting God's grace in the lives of other people. What's wrong with the landowner give that poor fellow who did not get work, who get rejected by all the other landowners, one silver coin? What's wrong with that? That's the grace from the landowner. But envy is resenting God's grace in the lives of other people, while ignoring his grace in our own life. That's even worse. Because we're so focused on other people. How come God bless them so much? We forgot that God actually bless you even more, or at least as much. should thank God that you have a corona to drive. Why? But if you keep looking at other people, better car, you'll be unhappy. Right? You should thank you God that a lot of people don't have a car. Right? You ignore God's grace in your own lives. That's serious. That is the lessons here. Envy is a deadly sin. It eats us from the inside. And the danger is we, without even us knowing it, that's the danger. We think that this is not right, right? This is not fair. I'm just trying to promote fairness here. But this actually hurts you. Resentment always hurts you more than the people you resent. You are the one being hurt. You cannot live a happy life, happy Christian life. You cannot live your abundant life. Without an abundant life, you cannot share it with other people. When people look at you, they don't see this joy, this blessed life in you. People see you like that 6 a.m. worker, grumbling, because you forgot to count the blessings God has given to you. Grumbling and gratitude are the two opposites. When we grumble, we cannot count God's blessing. When we show gratitude to the Lord, we would not grumble. God is the owner. But he answered the owner, I am not being unfair to you, my friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? So you're handing out money to help poor people. And then one said, how come he gets more, not me? It's my money. Or you are envious because I am generous. Are we envious because God is generous? The problem is not with God. The problem is with you. God gives us his blessings according to his wisdom. The owner keep going back to the marketplace. 9 o'clock, 12, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, because he wants to help all the people. I don't think he needs all the workers. I don't think he needs, he may even have enough workers already. I don't think he needs all the workers. But he just go out there to help the people. It's just like Jesus, like a shepherd looking for the lost sheep. He keep going out, Jesus keep going out there looking for the lost sheep. Some got saved first. Like I became a Christian when I was young. I thank the Lord for that. I served him for many, many years. Some may just became a Christian last month. Maybe one day when they go to heaven, someone just became a Christian for a short time. And then I became a Christian for most of my life. Would I say that it's not fair? No, I served the Lord all my life, but really hard. You know, I didn't have time to go to movies and all this. And it's not fair. No, this guy, all his life, you know, who did all this, committed all this crime, you know, enjoy all these things that we cannot enjoy. Well, at least I don't think I would enjoy anyway. Do all these things I cannot do. Now we're in heaven, sitting next to each other, joining in the same choir, and God put us in the same choir, you know, choir numbers 564, you know, we're in the same choir, sitting next to each other, and I was a pastor most of my life, and then he did nothing. It's not fair, we're sitting together in the same choir. I should be at least be the choir leader, right? But it's like God. He kept going back to the market, time over time, because he wanted to save everybody. That's God's love and grace. Our work, whether you start at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m. or 5, it makes no difference in God's scheme of eternity. One person is a story. It's a, obviously, it's a story. Went to heaven. So at the gate, he saw Peter there, the disciple Peter. So Peter asked him, you know, how many points you have scored when you're on earth? He said, I was in the choir. Oh, okay, they give you 1 point. Oh, great. And then I tithe all my life. Oh, they'll give you another point. And oh, I also serve a pastor. I was actually the senior pastor of a big church. Oh, they will give you at least another point. So how many points do I have? You have about, all together, have about 10 points now. Great, I have 10 points. So how many points do I need to enter this gate? Oh, 1 million points. What? Is this like your air miles or Canadian Tire dollars? 1 million miles, where do I get 1 million air miles, 1 million points to enter? No, you don't. You'll never earn 1 million points to enter this gate. Today is a special. God have a bonus points today. God just give you 1 million points. Your 10 points makes no difference. Our perspective of how much we do, how good we are, in God's scheme is nothing. Just moving from this gate from here to here. But God's grace is infinite, eternal. It's God's grace that we have to look at, focus on, not what time you start at work, 6 a.m. or 5 p.m. We have to think of God's grace, nothing but grace. I thank the Lord for everything that I have today. I thank Him for being able to immigrate to Canada many, many decades ago when no one even wanted to come to this place when I came. No one even heard of Vancouver. That's like many years ago. I thank the Lord that I have a chance to study, become engineer, work all my life as an engineer. I think I've contributed to this country. I'm very proud of what I've contributed as an engineer. I always work hard, do my best. I thank the Lord have that opportunity. I thank the Lord giving me a family, giving me Cynthia. I always thank the Lord. So this morning, before I left for church, she prepared breakfast for me and packed my lunch, and I think I said at least thank you about 20 times. I thank her. I thank the Lord that I can serve here. I thank the Lord that I can serve one time for the Mandarin ministry, that even though I don't really know Mandarin at the time, I thank the Lord that He asked me to lead this church according to the Alliance system category. 200 people is considered to be a small church or church that you can handle, manage. 200 to 400 is considered to be a medium-sized church. And then 600 people and above is considered to be a big church, a communicator church to manage. So they have a different way of managing. So for a 700 people church and free congregation, it's really complicated, like a Rubik's Cube. Sometimes I feel like I'm playing a Rubik's Cube. When I turn something, and then it always something else come up. I always seems to be turning it in the wrong. You know, try to make a Rubik's cube to complete a Rubik's cube. It's very challenging. But I thank the Lord. It is His grace, not my talent, definitely, or my effort. It's all God's grace that I can serve Him until today. Everything I have is His grace. God is fair, not only from man's perspective. He gave us the right wage, as He said in the parable, the right wage, a fair wage. He is fair and righteous. We have to stop comparing, looking at other people, looking at what cars other people drive, how much they make, how much they are blessed. It's none of your business. You are unique. God has a plan for each one of us. God has a plan for me. And we don't look at those people who start work at 5 p.m. in the vineyard. Look at yourself. If you started at noon, so be thankful that you can start at noon, that you don't have to worry for 6 hours at least without work. The one who started at 5, he has to worry for the whole day. Starting at 6 o'clock, that whether he'll be able to find work and get a salary to feed the family. God is love. God is kind. God is mercy. So he gave this one who started a five-fold call a full day of salary. Bobby, he know he has a need at home. He probably did not work for the last few days. We do not know. The guy who started a six-fold call did not know. Right? God knows. God gave each one his grace according to his will. Because he is God. He has the infinite wisdom. We have to start enjoying the grace God has given to us and not to start looking at other people. We always tend to look at people who are better in a certain area. Not all the areas. Only in selected areas we compare. We have to start enjoying God's grace. We have to start rejoicing with those who rejoice. That is hard. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. To weep and to cry, to grieve with the ones who are crying is not that difficult. But to rejoice with someone's success, especially those success you are longing for, is very difficult. When someone who did well, better than you, in certain things, singing, teaching, it's really hard to rejoice. Thank the Lord, that she sings better than me. Hallelujah, amen. Then I thank the Lord that someone can now interpret. I truly do that. Someone can interpret in the church better than me. Praise the Lord, I don't have to interpret anymore. And let them interpret. I got enough of this. Someone would rejoice with them. That is hard. But that is the road to happiness. Only then you will focus on the blessing God has given to you. Rejoice with the one who started work at 5 p.m. but received a whole day of salary. Praise the Lord. The owner is so generous. So he gives this poor guy who probably haven't been working for days. He probably stressed out because he wasn't sure whether he would get work and pay that day until 5 o'clock. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. This one who started at 5 o'clock, finally, he got a job. And praise the Lord, he even get the full day of salary. Oh, God is so good. We should thank the God for that poor fellow, isn't it? Instead of saying that, why is he getting as much as me? It's not fair. Look at your own blessings, then you will enjoy. There's a story about a king. One day he went into his garden one morning, and then he found that everything in his garden was withered and dying. So he asked an oak tree standing next at the gate, so what is the problem? Why must everybody, all the trees and they're all dying? And then the oak tree said that I'm sick of life. I'm sick. I'm determined to just die. Why? The king said, well, because when I look at the pine tree, look at how tall, how strong, how good looking. And I am not as good looking as him. So I'm just going to give up. I'm going to die. No point of living as an oak tree. So the king walked over to the pine tree, this tall, strong, built, good looking pine tree. And how are you, pine tree? So the pine tree said, I'm terrible. I'm awful. I'm going to die right now. Why? Well, no one will come to a pine tree because they all want to go to the vineyard. The wine, because they can have grapes to eat. And it's nothing for them to eat from a pine tree. So it's no point for me to standing in this garden here. So the king walked over to the vine, and the vine obviously wasn't happy. Said, what's going on here? No one's happy here. And the king asked the wine. The wine said, I am not happy. Look at me, all curled up together, right? Hanging on to other things to survive. People only come and take the grapes and no one really appreciate the wine itself. I look so ugly. Why can't I be like the apple tree? Right? People like to eat the apple and then look at the tree standing They are strong and tall. So the king trying to walking over to the apple tree. And then on his way there, he saw this pansy, little pansy flowers. And the flower was very happy. They were singing, dancing, rejoicing. So the king asked, why are you so happy? Everybody is dying here. The pansy said, I am very happy. I'm happy every day. Because, my lord, I know that when you planted me, you did not intend to plant an oak tree. You did not intend to plant a vine for the grapes. You did not plan to plant an apple tree. When you plant me, you want to plant a little pansy flowers. And I want to be the most best pansy happy flower that I can ever be. God may want you to be a little flower, maybe apple tree, maybe an oak tree, white tree. Do not compare. If God wants you to be a little flower, be a happy little flower. Don't look at the one that start work at 5 o'clock. God will have blessings for him, for them. Don't look at the ones who start work at noon. God has different blessings for them. But just look at yourself. God picked you to start work for him, to start to enjoy him at 6 a.m. For that, just say hallelujah, praise the Lord. But also praise the Lord for the other, the one who started at 5, got a full day of salary. Always bless God. Thank God. Then you will enjoy an abundant life. God did not hold back the best he had, his only begotten son, Jesus. He let Jesus die on the cross for you. God gave us the most precious gift. Why would he hold back his infinite blessings from you? May gratitude to God permeate your entire life. Think of, focus on just the blessings, the grace God has given to you. And thank God for blessings he has given to other people, those one who start at 5 o'clock. You will have an abundant life. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to focus on the blessings you have given to us. Oh, you have given us so much blessings, countless blessings. Nothing but grace. Help us to show our gratitude to you. Your grace, let our gratitude be a response to the grace you pour upon us and the people surrounding us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.